Hello, welcome to the Stuff I Fall Through Podcast. It's now popular, episode 244. My name is Justin.
And mine's Helen.
I have to admit, Helen, this was an interesting week where I got to see people with, like, their dress, wearing dresses and people with shorts, and some people didn't even have a shirt on. It was very disturbing, but I mean, it was, I think, in the 90s at one point this week.
Yeah, we had a heat index of, like, over 100 on Tuesday, and then apparently over here, this is the ninth time this year we've had a 30-degree temperature change in 24 hours. So now I am back to wearing pants.
It is, like, but I think I was going to just stay home. I think it was Wednesday or whatever, but then I looked at my weather app and it said it was going to go from 90-something to 60. The next day, I was like, okay, maybe I just better soak in the sun today. At least for a little bit, because I get to wear my shorts and everything. Get to actually just go out. Nobody judging me for wearing shorts and all that stuff. So I was like, oh, yeah. Just crazy weather, Helen. Just crazy. How is this happening? Why is it happening? What do I wear?
I had to put, like, a blanket back on my bed. But earlier in the week, I was, like, debating if I needed to start putting on sunscreen, you know, before and after work for my commute.
Yeah, it's up in my closet. I just have not gotten my comforter down off the closet. And so far, I've been able to get away with it. I've gotten away with it somehow. But, all right. Well, other than not figuring out this weather, how's the past few weeks been for you? Been able to read or watch anything interesting?
Let's see. I've definitely been doing reading. We were covering Oku over on Manga in Your Ear, so I was trying to read as much of that as I could, but the DC library system was not cooperating with me. It took over a month for them to get in the first volume, by which point I just bought a copy digitally. But other than my thoughts on that, which people can hear over on the Manga in Your Ears podcast, I've been reading the Seven Seas light novel series True Love Fades Away When the Contract Ends, which is, it's a romance series, not fantasy at all. It feels like it's probably drawing from, like, Regency era England or rougher, or later, roughly speaking, but it never names any country that the characters are in or that exist out there. It's sort of just a bit nebulous there, but I'm enjoying it. I hadn't actually realized that this was from the same author who did I'd Rather Have a Cat Than a Harem, and The Apothecary Witch Turned Divorce Agent. Did not realize those were all from the same author, which is kind of funny. But yeah, just been reading through those since there's a local fabric quilting store around here that's saying, okay, if you read 5 books between now and July 1st, we'll give you a $5 gift certificate, and this can go up to $25. So which would be 25 books. And I'm just like, challenge accepted. Light novels are the perfect thing that are short and fast to read. I'm gonna see how many I can do.
Good luck, Helen. Good luck. How's it going?
I think I'm already up to 5, since they also said that audiobooks count, and I do listen to audiobooks when I'm at work or if I'm doing long drives, which I just did recently because I was down to see my folks for a few days. 25 in a month and a half is a lot for me, but you know, it's important to have challenges in your life sometimes, you know? Challenge yourself.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that is true. For just, you know, make sure you stay up really late into the night just to read a book or listen to an audiobook. One or the other. You can do it, Helen. I believe in you.
Yeah, you could definitely believe in my ability to accidentally stay up too late reading. That is a known talent of mine. And you know what's a known talent of yours, Justin? Talking about Detective Conan for entirely too long.
I'm already letting the listeners know this will be a very specific Conan type of podcast episode for various reasons.
3 of them.
Unfortunately, one is pretty sad, unfortunately, but I'll say get to that in due time. But I think we talked about this last episode. TMS announced the Collection 3 of Detective Conan. Once again, just stupid little kids getting in trouble with the FBI.
And
are you getting in trouble with the cops?
Are these the movies that they've been streaming on YouTube for a limited time?
These are not even close. It's just, no, it's, again, it's similar to other collections. It's just...
So it's like a DVD release?
Specific episodes from the TV series and having it as one collection. In this case, it's focusing on the FBI agents who are also chasing after the black organization.
Yeah, but Justin, is this streaming on YouTube or is this like a physical DVD you bought?
No. This is similar to the others. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, you keep saying similar to the others, and I don't remember how the others functioned.
Yeah, these collections are they're just streaming on Netflix and Crunchyroll. So that's where you can find these both. And yes, I watched on both services. Well, okay. I think I watched the dub and sub. Okay, no, I think I did dub on Netflix, then sub on Crunchyroll. I think that's how it worked for me. And then I basically reversed it, but, you know, I kept someone in the background. It's better just to rewatch. Obviously, I wasn't going to rewatch it.
Justin is trying to get up the numbers.
Yes, trying to trick Netflix and Crunchyroll. Say, yes, give me more specific selections of episodes. And these are pretty solid, again, mysteries. And again, it's just nice to get more of the Conan universe dubbed. And I think it's kind of about where I was thinking. Well, I wasn't sure it was going with FBI. Although I guess that makes sense. Next, they got to go with the CIA at some point. But they got to finish the... I assume there's going to be more of the collection. Because these have, I think, averaged 24. Or at least, like, run time. It's like a 24-episode type of run. In terms of, like, minutes and everything. So, I think it was... 14? Okay, I could be wrong on this one. I think it was 14 episodes they released for this collection. It's either 13 or 14. One or the other. It could be even less than that, but... Anyways, I expect there's going to be a few more... They're going to announce another collection at some point to finish this one off. So there's going to be more FBI, and I guess it's going to include Conan discovering... Or Conan really working together with the FBI people. So it could be episodes involving that. And it's going to be dubbed. And... it's gonna be good. Again, once again, they have I think they're doing the dub really good. So nice to again return to Conan in its manner and legally, and not have to think about the time where I had to scrounge on the internet and watch episodes of Detective Conan months ago. Very, very nice.
Now I'm just trying to think of like other American three-letter agencies that Conan could like team up with, like the NSA, I don't know, the CDC, if there's like some sort of like outbreak, you know. I think there's potential there.
What detective?
The NSA is like the National Security Administration. That one fits. I'm pretty sure there's.
But you brought it to CDC, so I was just like.
I'm pretty sure they've got like disease detectives who are like, you know, tracking like Ebola outbreaks. You know, what if there's a bioterrorist on the loose?
I'm trying. Maybe, funny enough, those type of things seem to be reserved for like the movies, because it just seems a little like crazy for them with the plots for these movies. So that might be a movie thing. TV series, I'm not too sure, but I don't believe so. I don't remember. I doubt it, because there's more obviously following the how Gosho Aoyama did the manga. So maybe in the future we'll get something like that, and we'll have to see. We'll have to see.
I've given Justin ideas for a Conan fanfic.
No, you have not, because I don't really do fanfics. Maybe some other people, maybe somebody out there has done fanfics of it, but not me. Not a fanfic person. But yes, looking forward to more Conan Collection 3 and then maybe one more collection this year, and then we'll see if it did well to get more. And I think also, my ultimate hope is that after do a Collection 4, if do a Collection 5, it'd be great, but I think Collection 4 would be a good quote unquote stopping point, because by then they'll have enough numbers to suggest, okay, maybe we can actually consistently dub this the rest of the series and actually have more Conan and everything. So that is my hope. But we'll see. Only we'll have to see on that. My guess and the expo they'll make an announcement, but again, we'll see.
All right, so now we've got some news, starting off with one that Justin has just labeled bad. Voice actor Aoi Nagasuke, her agency addressed the fact that there had been photos taken of her without her permission when Nagasuki was out with her friends. It sounds like maybe they were eating dinner, maybe they were just out in public, etc. But someone went around and was taking photos, and apparently there have been other instances of people photographing and stalking the voice actor while she is in public. I don't know if these are other instances of the same person, or if there are multiple people who are all being gigantic creeps. Her talent agency, Amuleto, has noted it will take legal action if it confirms further instances of people photographing Nagasuki in public, stalking the voice actor, or harassing behaviors towards her, or make or share malicious social media posts. And as a reminder, it is easier in Japan to sue somebody over malicious social media posts than it is in the U.S. So that is, in fact, an actual, I mean, I don't want to say a threat, but like that could result in legal action. That is not just idle chatter by the agency. So yeah, people, don't be weird about seeing people in public, you know, just respect that. Unless somebody is being a gigantic asshole in public, you leave them alone.
Yeah. I think, I think I was looking at the forums. I think ANN forums. It invites speculation because apparently, like, she was with, like, one of her friends with a guy, and then you post it online, people might think they're dating, and that's...
oh my god, the idea of somebody who's a celebrity dating. Gasp. They can't just be your waifu. Yeah,
I think the point is, like, I think just putting it out there, and then if the company's just like, wait, this is... what are these rumors? These are not... you can't be making stuff up like this, so I can understand it from that perspective. Yeah. Needless to say, get permission. You just can't be randomly taking photos like that.
Don't be a jerk. You know, respect that other people have lives, and you are not necessarily entitled to be a part of all of them. And that your waifus will never date you.
All right. So last year we had the Delicious in Dungeon Yoko Kui exhibition happen in New York,
which you didn't even go to because you're not a fan.
I mean, I'm a fan of Delicious in Dungeon, but I just really, I just don't really make time, unfortunately. But I know I should have gone. But yes, the exhibition this time is happening in LA, so it's gonna, I think, kick off exactly during Anime Expo, and then it's gonna extend for most of the month, I think towards the end of the month. So July 2nd is when it's gonna start. So if you get a chance for those to go on AX, and then those in the Los Angeles area for the month, go do better than me. Go to the exhibition. That'd be great. That'd be cool.
Justin is saying, "Do as I say, not as I did." So we've got a number of things coming on and off hiatus. First off, the manga Elden Ring Distant Tales Between is resuming after a 3-month hiatus. The manga apparently went on a hiatus while the creator did research. I don't know if research means that they were playing the game more or if they were having to just figure out some world building things.
All of the above. All of the above. They talked to the, I guess, I think Elden Ring's of Neverest. No, I'm not. Okay, I can't remember the publisher. Studio, but they talked to the studio, be like, "Hey, can we play more? I gotta play more for research. Can I do that?" And then they let them do, and then that took us some time, and then maybe they actually had to do some legit like fantasy research just to double check the facts and everything. So, yeah, there you go.
The idea of somebody like playing the video game that they're adapting for research does it? That just sounds funny to me. I don't know if that was the research they were referring to or not.
It could legitimately be it. Like, we've, especially in this case, like, they're legitimately writing.
Gotta double check all the deep lore, like all that jazz.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially if they, like, added DLC or if there's something they want to double check for a particular part, hey, it's valid. As long as, obviously, you get the approval from the company and everything, all good.
Also returning is Mari Yamazaki's Thermae Romae sequel manga, which is Zoku Thermae Romae. Apparently, this one entered a hiatus back on September 2nd, so that one's been a little bit. Now, if that creator needed time to go do research, like go over to Italy and study more Roman maps, I would totally believe it. I cannot believe that this is still going, that they still have story that they can make for this. But also returning is Bocchi the Rock. The manga had a hiatus. When did it start?
It was a while ago, but basically, Aki was on the hiatus due to her due to health and need to recuperate. They were supposed to come back, or she was supposed to come back. I think last issue, but she still wasn't ready yet, so they had to delay it. But now it looks like she's gonna return.
Let's see, and also returning, the Days of Diamond manga is returning in June. No reason was given for health, research, etc. It is simply back.
Welcome back.
And I don't know why Justin put...
Unless you want to do this one?
Yeah, I don't know why you put this one on here, so you take it.
Because because we've covered a few music type of breakups. Like, they're just, like, that's it, it's over and everything. We covered a few of those before in the past.
And yet we will not cover Manhwa on
listeners,
here.
Listeners, Don't quote me on this. Don't quote me. But this might be the first music return we've done on this podcast.
I feel like we have before, but I have no way how we could double check all of our past episodes to find out.
Yeah, I feel like it doesn't really pop up to me. I feel like this is like a first. So yes, Japanese hip hop group Homei Kazoku announced that they're gonna return to making music. If this maybe sounds weird to a lot of old people, old heads, everybody who was like born in the 2000s, or not born in the 2000s, everybody who was watching anime in the 2000s.
We are still in the 2000s.
We got 2010, 2020, 2000s.
You mean the aughts? Who was watching anime in the aughts?
Bleach, Rekka 7, Naruto, Shippuden. Maybe you've heard openings from Homei Kazoku. There you go. They've been gone for like 10 years. What problems will come back? Always curious what could have, you know, especially after all that time. I wonder what really got them to come back like this. But hey, they're ready to come back. Welcome back. Now back to our regularly scheduled... the manga creators, they're going on hiatus for various reasons. So starting with Muchi Muro's Even the Student Council Has Hoes, it's going on a break, but it is slated to return June 3rd. Oh, sorry, should be for clarification. Muchi Muro's on break due to health. Not specified what type of health, but they just need a break, I guess. So seems pretty small, so they'll be back in June. And then let's see, we have manga artist Kimichi Yoshizuki, who announced on Twitter, it's called X, right? Sorry, formerly Twitter, that they're going to take a break from publishing the Nankai Tro Kyodai Jinshin manga to focus on their health. That they're consulting with various medical professionals. Yoshizuki is predicting that the hiatus is going to last roughly 2 months. Didn't list all the health ailments Yoshizuki had, but... They noted a couple of health issues, and I'm like, oh, dang, may need more than two months. That's the case. So, I hope they're able to resolve or be able to heal up what's ever ailing them. Sounds like it could be pretty serious. So, hope for the best for sure.
And then. We do have a surprisingly large number of obituaries for the past 2 weeks. I was surprised as I was scrolling through here. Over on the U.S. side, Jeff Smith and the talent agency Collier Talent announced the death of voice actor Bill Wise at the age of 61. He had roles in a number of English dubs, including the Initial D Legend movie trilogy, Guyver, Get a Robo, Knuckles in the 1996 Sonic the Hedgehog the movie OVA. So looks like from those names that he hadn't been as active lately. Or perhaps those are just his most famous ones.
Yeah, probably. Like, it's also possible that was like one of the few, like, let's see, that might actually been it in terms of, because you see, mostly these are kind of old. Let me actually check.
Well, it said he was 61, so.
Yeah, he's a pretty old, yeah. Those are probably, yeah, his most famous roles. It looked like he stopped. Yeah, it's mostly like the old, early 2000s type of anime, or, well, I'd say probably stopped around the late 2000s, I think, from just looking at the credits list.
Mm-hmm. And then over in Japan, talent agency Ken Production announced that voice actor Takahiro Fujiwara died on May 14th at the age of 43. In accordance with his family's wishes, a private funeral service has already been held. So that is quite young. He voiced a character in the Kingdom anime, but had to step down from the role last August due to health reasons. So we can only assume that those health reasons are probably related to his passing.
Yeah.
And then Yuji Ono was his...
Yuji
Ono's official website announced that he died of natural causes on May 4th at the age of 84. His production agency noted that he died after going to sleep without any change in prior condition before going to sleep. So it sounds like probably a fairly peaceful passing then. I didn't recognize his name, but apparently Ono is best known for his work as a jazz pianist and composer, and his soundtrack for the Lupin the Third anime series includes the anime's now iconic opening theme.
Lupin the Third. I think that should be it, right? Lupin the Third.
Yeah, and it's the ANN article says that it persisted in various arrangements by Ono throughout the anime's main television series, specials, and films. So I'm going to guess that the one they're referring to there must be the original one that's simply been remixed and, you know, reimagined over the years.
Yep, that's and then obviously I think we only cover like obviously the most Lupin the Third's iconic anime series. So he's obviously done other works before. It seems like he's just more and more as just a musician and composer for other things. But yeah, it does sound like he went about as peacefully as you can. 84, lived a long life. Obviously, he's still a tough loss. He had a full life for the most part, yep. Actually, there's one thing I wanted to check. But then let's see. Yeah, he composed for like a couple other things. Captain Future. okay, that's the Andromeda Stories. He did the thing for the Space Adventure Cobra anime series. Oh, wait. A piece for the Daikon Films. From the staff there later. Okay, that's a little... Okay, interesting. So I'll finish that. Okay, he did a piece for the Daikon Films from the staff that were later formed at the Studio Gainax. And the theme for the Space Adventure Cobra anime series. Okay, it was just Space Adventure Cobra. Okay. Yeah, lots of older works. But yeah, it looks like he was mostly... He did other films and stuff like that. Okay. But yes, for any anime space, we know him for Lupin the Third and the many music tracks, the music theme for that has persisted or has lasted for a very long time. And I suspect it will continue to last as long as the franchise keeps going. So, all right. Talent agency Aoni Production announced, this was last week, that voice actress Wakana Yamazaki died on April 18th at 61. As a reminder, she had to step down from voicing Ran in Detective Conan back in February due to health issues. And I think obviously we were hoping that the treatment and everything would obviously make things better, and it just wasn't enough. So we really lost a really iconic voice and probably a really good person. Akemi Okamura, who voiced the character since March 14th while she was Yamazaki was going on undergoing medical treatment, will now take over the role of Ran. So yeah, this obviously hit me harder a little bit. You hear a voice for as long as I have, like basically since, what, I want to make sure I get this accurate, somewhere in the 2000s and then into now 2026. Obviously over the past couple years, especially when Conan got announced for streaming legally on Crunchyroll, even heard it even more. And we're still not done, at least on the English side. There's still obviously a few movies that haven't been released yet in the US that I assume will come over time. And then obviously we've got the collection that TMS is putting out. So we'll still be hearing her voice over here for some time. But it's obviously a tremendous loss. For sure, especially at 61, it's just really unfortunate.
So if you've been keeping up with the TV series, have you been hearing...
Yeah, in a new way. Yeah, yeah, you can tell it's different from Okami. It's definitely different. But it's not like... I think they've... I think I should have noted this, but I think she had the voice... voice her before at one point, but I can't remember the top of my head. But yeah, you definitely tell us a difference. Not bad, obviously. It's obviously going to also take more time to get used to it. But it's just going to be, especially moving forward, like we get the future Conan movies and everything, and going to hear Kami's voice instead of Wakana. It's definitely going to be different. Obviously, I mean, we don't know how long Conan's going to last.
So eternal.
Tempo franchises. It's one of the tempo of, like, franchises in Japan. It's going to keep going on even after, this might be weird to say, even after the creator is gone, I think Conan will still in some way be going, because it's just one of those franchises like Toa Crayon Shin-chan and Sazae-san. They're just going to keep going and going. It's just that popular a franchise. So, yeah, we're going to obviously have more... as long as you're watching anime, and obviously as long as you're going, we'll potentially or most likely get more of this type of... We're going to lose these voice actors. And it's going to be a shame, but... but yeah, it's... Yeah, it's obviously pretty tough. And then obviously there was lots of condolences, particularly from the many, many staff of Detective Conan. We have a... And obviously... put together a list of voice actors and everybody and production staff who were involved with the series. There was one I wanted to note particularly with the first Koimura, but it looks like I accidentally deleted it. Let's see if I find it really quick. Alright, no, I can't. Alright, I want to find it really quick. You have the first voice actor of Kogoro Mori, who kind of made a reference to the fact that obviously they say dad, Otosa, and a dad. That was like a common phrase that you would hear from Ran when talking to the bumbling detective. But now I won't be hearing it particularly from her anymore. So yeah, we had the Detective Conan staff with their thoughts, and obviously had all the voice actors who obviously had grown up, especially with her voice. I mean, this series started in, what, 19? Sammy started, like, what, 1999 or something like that? Not even early. I think even way longer than that, right? Really quick. As you see, this franchise, what, 1996, I think, right? Yep, looks like it's 1996. So yes, long time. That's a long, long time we were seeing a character. Long time, and they still do it well too. That just speaks to just her talent, just her desire to just obviously do the role and this character as well as she could. So not gonna obviously we've gone way too long with this, but yeah. So she'll be missed. Many people will miss her. My sincere condolences to her family for sure.
And so I think it's now time to move on to licenses, and
Yes, we got a, especially from Yenpress.
Yeah, Yenpress, what the fuck? This is too many. But we're going to try to persist on. So, Yenpress, over the past couple weeks, I believe we are starting with their Anime North announcements. They have announced...
No, these are pre-Anime North.
Okay, so the pre-Anime North announcements. They have licensed Kumo, Kaguyu, Kotaru, Seiken, and Noboru Kanatsuki's Moscow 2160. This is the manga version. They are already publishing the novel. Folks can also see that I did not pre-practice saying the names this time around, but oh well. Fuji Omori, Kakage, and Susito Yasuda's Argonaut, Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? Tales of a Hero for the Yen On light novel imprint. I am surprised they still do not have an answer to this question yet. Tsukihiro's...
After so many spinoffs and sequels or whatever and iterations, yes, we still have an answer for this.
Clearly nobody has come up with an answer for this. So they've also licensed Tsukihiro's Love at the City's Edge on a Moonlit Night, Ryoko Kui's Terrarium in a Drawer, Akumu Agitogi and Hidari's The Story of the Moon Waiting for the Evening as a part of the Yen On light novel imprint, Minori Masuda's He Was My Brother, Sino Torino's Egg, I'm Your Child, Gakuta Koda, Meiji and Putog's After School Duty, Yoma Mishima and Pinaki's Valkyrie Bullet, another one for the Yen On light novel imprint, Hijiki's Contract Sisters, Nagi Miso's Izumi and the Dragon Encyclopedia, Sanorin's My Girlfriend is a Colossal Cutie, Hyogo Amagasa Sugino and Lino's Tales of the Wizrain Kingdom, The Dragon is the Bride. Nice change up from The Dragon is Getting a Bride, you know how it normally goes. Rainy Kamisuki, Minori Tsukahara and Lambs, Witch and Hound, Ishiro Sakaki and Shiba's On the Way Home After Defeating the Demon King, another one for the Yen Pren, for the Yen On light novel imprint. Kosaka, Hanane, and Kurogiri's Rise of the Lowborn, Ascending the Ranks by Crushing Incompetent Nobles, another Yen On series, as is this next one. Kame Siniuisi, I'm not even going to try to say that again. You put too many syllables in that. You Okuas, the Demon King, seems to have infiltrated the hero's party.
Ugh. Hi, Helen. You sound like you're done. You sound like you're just like...
I'll try for the rest as well, but...
Yes, please. No, you are going to do the rest. Do the rest now.
All right, and then the ones that they did announce at Anime North up in Canada. Fujino Omori and Yunaga's Wistoria Wand and Sword for Yen On. I thought this was already licensed, but I guess not.
The manga. Kodansha's been putting out the manga.
Okay. Anju Goshi Rakawa and Mayu Murata's something.
I cut that out. Okay, so I messed up Helen. So I should have put Kodansha publishing the manga of Wistoria, and I don't know why I forgot to put Honey Lemon Soda on here. That's bizarre. I guess I accidentally cut it out.
All right, so
my bad.
So the one that those two, Goshi Rakawa and Murata's titled, that is Honey Lemon Soda, the novel series, since they're already publishing the manga. Naochi's No Melt and, again, with the weird words, I think this is Greek. I don't know Greek.
Agapanthus.
Agapanthus. Yodaka Kuroi's Witch and Cat. I guess to go along with the Witch and Hound from earlier. Yukari Sakai's Sinful is the Angel Who Loves. Hirohisa Sato's Shigahime. Uma Agiri's Studio Kibana. Kuroho Shina's Gus and Beasts, which is already getting simulpubbed over on Manga Plus. Shin Yamamoto's Twilight Vessel Gods. And that is enough from Yen Press for the moment.
They're not going to have any more announcements for the rest of the year. What?
At least another couple.
But there's Anime Expo.
At least for like another month, okay?
It's like Anime Expo, and then the Anime New York City, I was going to be at Otakon, but I don't know if
they do. They never do Otakon. They'll save everything for
Otakon.
Anime NYC.
Yeah, Anime Expo. I keep saying Anime Expo, yeah, Anime New York City. My mind.
And you'll probably be in the room for the Anime NYC announcements.
Possibly. We shall see. Well, again, it's going to be... You say this, Helen, but then what if they put a Yen Press and a Kanacha panel or a Seven Seas panel at the same time?
I mean, that is possible, do, yeah.
Like, I'm just saying, right? Like, jeez. Although they were, I think they were pretty good with scheduling last year. So I shouldn't worry about that. But still, until I see it, then I'll know. So all right. But in comparison, Seven Seas, not quite so busy. And then also, they announced they're going to take a break from One for Wednesdays. My guess is they're going to stop till AX. So, I mean, they might maybe have something for late June. Possibly. But yeah, take a little break. So that's why it's a little shorter set of announcements than usual for them. Hana Hatsumi's Pendulum, The Beastman Omega Saga, Riko Sakura's Goodnight, My Little Bird, Oki Eiko's The Cat Who Didn't Believe in What Ifs, Not The Tomorrow I Want to See with Kako, A Time Loop Romantic Comedy, Dokuzo Kento and Neko Tsuke Omna's Goeta Shock. It's going to be an airship, but it's going to be digital only light novel release. Then they also licensed Hagane Kurodome and Kayahara's Wandmaker of the Ruined World, also airship and also digital only.
I keep waiting.
You know what's funny about
these? I keep waiting for Seven Seas to like make a full-on cat manga imprint because they have so many cat manga titles.
At this point, they could just do that, right? But I mean, they have enough imprints as it is. I'm not sure I want to. I mean, unique, I guess, but I think we're fine with no more imprints. It's totally fine. It's funny, on my side of Twitter, we had a little discussion of Seven Seas seeming to just release digital only light novels for the announcements for the start of the year. They have a few that's going to be both, but a couple majority of their light novels is going to be digital only. My only like kind of question is like, why are these coming like in late 2026, late 2027? Don't really. They already have an English cover ready for it and everything, and I guess you're saying the translation's not finished yet or something. Just a little puzzled about that, but yeah, there was just a discussion about the print digital side of things over on Twitter.
I mean, remember, the person who's making the covers is not the person who's doing the translation.
All right, I get that. I'm just like, is it really taking that long? But they're also obviously going to have more Siren audiobooks. So hey, Mikawa's magic user reborn another world as a max level wizard. This is narrated by John Patinude, not Patinade. Patinade. That's how you say it, baby. And Satori's A Good Day Starts with Cats and Books, narrated by Sarah Matsui Colby. Gotta make sure I get that right.
All right. So, from some of our smaller publishers, we have. Hang on one sec. Abrams Comic Arts Kana imprint announced that it is licensed Subanori's Antenga Twilight Metropolis and will begin releasing the manga in spring 2027. Manga Mavericks announced that it has licensed Zawayuki Takai's Tie Me Up, Steer Me Down manga. The Japanese title for that one is Shibate Musumiti, and it will be released both physically and digitally as a single 3-in-1 omnibus, also in spring 2027. They have specified that this one is coming out in May.
One Piece Books, they had announced, I think it was exclusive behind the manga, that they've licensed Toshimichi Uzo, Sime, and Kui Hayashi's My Sweet Marriage to My Ex-Nemesis, another spring 2027 license release. And then K-Manga, they recently added Rin Mikimoto's Keepsake Heartache to their service, so more shoujo manga on K-Manga.
Yay! Someone's gotta do it. And... Oh yeah, I sent this one over to Justin. This is a bit odd, but there's a California-based distribution company called Deaf Crocodile, which releases a bunch of oddball things. Some of my friends have seen the ones, like the collections of like Soviet animation that they put out. But their latest round of releases included an anime in there, so we're going to talk about it. They have licensed the Frankenstein Legend of Terror anime. It's going to be released in the original Japanese and English subtitles, obviously, and it's going to have a new 4K restoration. I do not believe they've confirmed yet if it's going to have the English dub from the US release back in 1984. I've also had a bunch of friends saying, okay, you've given us that. Now you need to give us the other one in this series, which involved Dracula eating burger. So. Which I think I have even seen that picture before, and it's like, oh, okay, that's where that came from.
Is this streaming news time, Helen?
It seems like it.
Right. Way up. I guess Anime Expo's going kind of big here. Well, relatively big here. So they're gonna screen Across Do You Remember Love, the film. And they also have the voice actors, or a couple of voice actors, actually being there. Masakazu Morita and Machiko is also going to be at AX. Was this supposed to be released on Blu-ray already or something
In
like that?
Japan, yes, not in the US. That's the one that really has the rights held up for it.
Okay. So yeah, if you're in AX, lucky that you get to actually watch Do You Remember Love?
Yeah, I don't
If
know if
that
that one
you
has
can make it to
ever been
LA.
screened in the US officially. I think it has, but I don't know when. And then coming over to Netflix, Netflix is going to stream the Ginga Tokyu Milky Subway. I don't know why we put this in Japanese. The Milky Subway, the Galactic Limited Express local train to the theater.
Just they usually just have like a rough, it's not official, that's
Yeah,
basically why.
it is the re-edited film of the Milky Subway anime. They're going to be streaming that starting on June 1st. It's been available legally on English for quite a while now. I think they put it up with English subs when they first released it. I'm pretty sure I've watched it, but I thought it was only like 5 minutes long. But yeah, it was fun from what I recall. People should go check it out. Netflix is also going to be streaming a couple of other anime that have been around on other services. They will be streaming Blue Lock versus the U20 Japan on May 25th, My Dress Up Darling Season 2 also on May 25th, Assassination Classroom Season 2 on June 1st, which came out so many years ago, Shangri-La Frontier Season 2 on June 1st, and also One Piece Whole Cake Island 6 and Island 7 on June 1st. So I guess somebody at Netflix woke up and went, oh shit, we need to put more anime on here. Let's see what's come out in the past 5 years.
And we can totally get the license for it, and nobody's gonna yell at us about it.
Which is
Yay.
interesting because I think Shangri-La Frontier was a Funimation title, so I guess they must have.
No.
Was it?
It was just
Okay.
Crunchyroll. It was just
But
Crunchyroll.
either way, it means they're getting. Okay, yeah, they've been getting Crunchyroll stuff for a while now, but it still surprises me that Sony is willing to do that.
It could actually just be the Japanese like companies themselves saying, yeah, we're gonna put this on other services. That seems to be kind of a trend that's been happening in the past couple of
I mean,
years.
you would think that would be the smart thing to do, but we know that these companies do not always do the smart thing.
I just still remember when we had that whole Dandadan kerfuffle
Was
that
it
just did not
Netflix
want
or
to
Crunchyroll who was
advertise.
throwing a fit of
No,
a.
it was Crunchyroll. Just it was Crunchyroll who was like,
Well, it wasn't exclusive, so we're
we're
not
just,
going to advertise it. It's like cutting off your nose to
yeah,
spite
like
your face.
it's like G Kids wants to put this on all these other services, but we're not getting exclusively. Yeah, whatever. We're not promoting it. Then you know they changed the tunes when season two came out. I guess public pressure is a real pain, huh?
The boss goes, listen, stop fucking around and make us the money.
Right. We're gonna talk about stuff or streaming services I probably have heard of or have never heard of in the last couple years. What we're hearing about now. So, licensing and dubbing studio Sky Set Entertainment has announced they're going to stream the Go Forward television anime, and the sequel series, Japanese name Masagu ni Iko Melon Panhen. So the series is going to stream on the Skynet Entertainment website late in summer 2026, so later in summer. It's going to be Japanese with English subtitles, and then it's going to also be with the brand new English dub. They got a good cast too. I'm just a brief skim to it. The release is going to be available in the US, Canada, UK, New Zealand, and Australia, and it's going to be added to additional streaming platform service. It's going to be added to additional streaming services at some point this year. My guess is, I guess, somewhere in the fall. But where, nobody knows. I don't know yet. We'll just have to wait. For now, it's going to stream. It's going to start on the Skyset Entertainment website first.
Yeah, which I had never heard of before. Another one I've never heard of before, streaming service Darkroom, has added the Hare plus Gue Deluxe anime with the English sub for streaming with a premium membership. The streamer also lists the Hare plus Gue final anime of Japanese audio, but no episodes are available as of A&N publishing this article on May 16th. Yeah, that's a title I haven't heard people talk about in a while. I think Discotech has it in print, or did at one point, but I don't remember.
Maybe, and I've seen, and funny enough, you talk about Discotech, I was just going through Darkroom's like site, and I was like, is that a Discotech title? That's another Discotech title there, that's another one there. I guess Discotech and Darkroom have had a thing, and I just haven't been paying attention. That is my guess. But yeah, I assume Haruku Final is just, it's going to be on the service, just not yet. So we'll, maybe when that's officially, if it gets officially announced, we'll pick it back up. But yeah, never heard of Darkroom, or I may have heard of Darkroom, but not like a normal service or anything like that. Maybe like to pass in passing. But yeah, I guess we'll hear more about them moving forward. That's my guess.
Also, side note, there hasn't been a Discotech Day in a while. Apparently, the Discotech Day at Otakon is going to be kind of nuts. It sounds like a whole bunch of things have been held up in approval, and that they're all coming through at once. So, hold on to your butts, everyone.
GTO. 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 Live action. Live action. Live action. And look, I would prefer the 1998 or 99 or whatever, the 90s version, but I do not mind taking the 2012 version either. Either or, but I would prefer the 90s version.
You start chanting this, and I can just imagine the monkey's paw curling, and you get that new one we were talking about last time, which is like the 2012 cast coming back for something new.
Impossible. You know what the last episode we talked about? Nah, impossible. Yeah.
I mean, at this particular Discotech Day, sure, but future Discotech Days.
No, it's going to come in like, this is 2020. It's going to come like 2036 at the way getting licenses like for live action stuff.
But they've had other GTO things before. They might have an in.
They only have the anime, which obviously is anime. Of course they would get that version. Live action.
Have you seen how many live action things Discotech puts out these days?
I mean, you say this, but how long have it taken some of them to really acquire? Like, they came out like in what, 2012 or whatever, and then they announced it like 2020, 2021, something like that. It takes a while.
I mean, like, Discotech has been like ramping up, bringing out more stuff with like their, what is it, like their Tokusatsu Nights things. And yeah, some of the titles are older, but that's because they've been grabbing ones that the fans have been wanting for a long time instead of simply grabbing the new stuff. So I don't know, Justin, I feel like you are inviting the monkey's paw over here. We will see if time proves you or I to be correct on this.
Let's see. Cineverse's Retro Crush streaming service has announced that the Metabots anime is now streaming on the Retro Crush Fast channel every Saturday and Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m.
Why is it streaming live? Like, this is defeating the point of streaming.
Look, if you have a smart, literal fast channels, those channels over the internet, you can act like you're a regular TV station like back in the day and watch anime.
We didn't like those days for a reason.
Hey, after school, whoa. After school was great. Was golden, Helen. Getting off school, watching Dragon Ball.
I didn't have cable back then, so everything. I never saw any of those. And by high school, I got home way too late for that.
Yeah, we obviously had different upbringings. Too bad you didn't experience joy, Helen. Too
I was
bad.
gonna say, Justin's got more privilege over here talking about, oh yeah, I had access to cable and I could watch anime after school. Anyway, speaking of anime that we would expect to be airing after school, TubiTV announced that it is licensed God damn it, I know this word. Yokoso, Scooby-Doo, a new anime in the Scooby-Doo mystery comedy franchise. Warner Brothers is producing with OLM, the Pokemon studio, animating the project. And it's being directed by Itsuru Kawasaki, and Francisco Padres is its co-producer. I know the ANN article mentioned that Warner Brothers had semi-announced something a couple of years ago, which has a lot of similar details to this. So this might be kind of like more details on the same project.
I'm pretty sure the most notable thing here is Tubi TV is getting this one.
Didn't you say
Are we getting another really like streaming service, Helen?
last time that this was like the first time in a while you had heard of like Tubi TV getting a simulcast?
What? Okay.
Did
Let's
the universe
we're
hurt
not sure
you?
if this is okay. We're not also sure. I guess technically it would be a quote unquote simulcast. We don't know if it's just gonna be like Netflix style or if it's actually airing on TV or anything like that for this. I think it really said anything like that, right? Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, it didn't really say anything like
I'm
that.
just saying that you have like baited the universe into being like,
But yeah,
yeah,
it's like
Tubi's like, yeah, we could do some of this.
just what we need another place that wants to get an anime.
Listen,
That's
Tubi
what
at
we
least is
needed
still
more.
free, so.
That is the I guess that is the saving obviously grace here is that Tubi TV advertises itself as a free service. They always make fun of all the other services charging people, so I mean, I'm curious how it's gonna do. I'm curious, and then again, we'll obviously be monitoring Tubi TV and see if there'll be like a streaming hub for anime in the future. Now it's time to go into some of the weird news that's happened, and it's weird as usual. We're gonna start with going back to 2015. When Lady Justice was serialized in Shueisha's Weekly Shonen Jump. I'm not sure if this is Ken Oingo's was it Ken Oingo's first work, but let's just say Ken worked on it and it didn't last very long. I think it got canceled or it just got cut after like 15 or so chapters. The famous U20 didn't last very long chapter wise there. So now we have 11 years later, essentially. He was asked a question by a fan, basically saying, like, my impressions of Ogino came to Jump armed with just a passion to erotic content, only be crushed. Like, right now, it's quite daring of him to compete with a hero themed series at the height of My Hero Academia's popularity. He then, Ogino responded by clarifying how Lady Justice actually came about. Well, obviously, based on the theme of American comics, made in Japan. But obviously, went to be a Japanese moe and everything. So, he wanted to be passed me a female hero. Didn't quite want it to be erotic content. Wanted some erotic elements to be just a little spice, but he wanted to create a tough female hero. The problem is, at the time, the editors told him that the protagonist is female. We won't publish it unless it focuses on eroticism. And I guess that's what exactly focused on back then. And it didn't, again, last very long. And then again, it also was serialized at the same time as My Hero Academia came out. Not great at all respects. So,
Yeah, he says all of
it
this,
does. Well,
and like the ANN article on it just shows like a little snippet of the first volume cover. But then if you click on the ANN encyclopedia link, you can see the whole first volume cover, and like she just has like really big boobs. It looks like a huge focus, and it's like you're saying I wanted to only do a little bit of this, and they made me do a lot of it. It's like I don't know, man, like if your framing of a cover is this really boring ass composition of a character staring you straight in the face, where the face and the boobs have like equal prominence on there to draw your eyes back and forth, that kind of feels like you wanted to do it too. Like this, I am not buying that this was strictly the editors who made it so that this didn't do as well as I wish it could have. Also, yeah.
The only I will disagree in a sense that if you're a newbie in the industry, which I think Ken Ogino was at the time, I could totally see you getting influenced by your editor in that particular case. Because he had plenty of, I think he said that he'd done a one-shot of it before, and then obviously I assumed that it was, or at least the editor at the time, they decided that it was good enough to be picked up. But then you get a comment saying at the time that though you should focus more on eroticism, you might just get influenced in a more negative fashion.
I'm still not just buying it. This feels a bit like sour grapes to me.
I don't know if you even said it like sour grapes, because he obviously made clarifications, I think, earlier in the article, or statements or tweets he made. But yeah, that was obviously long ago, and then it's just a case where, again, it just didn't work out. Obviously, at the time, things were not the same, so it was also more of a commentary on how nowadays you have more female-led characters in Weekly Shonen Jump that's been happening over the past couple of years. And obviously, we've all noted over the past couple years how Shueisha has long been kind of a boys' club, especially with the editor's side for sure. So none of it's like you can be skeptical. It's totally fine.
Of course, it's totally fine that I'm skeptical. It's not like you can make me feel not fine about being skeptical.
But yeah, back then we've had noted commentary on Shueisha's type of mentality. So. But yeah, very interesting to get that now in 2026. Very notable. And also weird, but by the way, just throwing it out there.
I'm still laughing at this one. So we mentioned last time that GameStop was proposing buying eBay, which seemed like a bad idea on every level. But I think this came out like right after our episode did. So it didn't, as Justin has put it in the script, this didn't even have time to put the offer in the oven to bake. The chair of eBay's board of directors wrote a letter to GameStop CEO and called the proposal neither credible nor attractive, and so said that they would not be considering this. Just writing out in plain language that this was neither credible nor attractive, it feels like something you would see in like a Regency era novel of like somebody turning down a marriage proposal. I feel like you are neither a credible nor an attractive prospect. So I'm just going to keep laughing about that for a while.
I mean, it was laughing when the first time we heard GameStop was even putting in a bid. I'm like, the GameStop? The company that is always closing stores? That GameStop?
I did see some clips of whoever it was at GameStop who was doing like the PR tour to explain this. When being asked, you know, how are you going to come up with the money for this? He's like, half cash, half stock. And they're like, okay, you've got the cash on hand, but I don't understand the stock thing. What do you mean? It's like, I don't understand the question. It's going to be half cash, half stock. But imagine a much more monotone delivery than what I just did. It was pretty funny.
Let's see. Japanese singer-songwriter Eiko has responded to a fan on social media about an incident that occurred during her concert at Hadaraki City, Hokkaido. The fan has said an elderly gentleman collapsed in front of the fan during the concert, so the fan helped the gentleman up, and the staff checked on him many times during the concert. When Eiko walked through the crowd, she stopped to help the gentleman, which was like, what? Whoa. Was it really that special? Well, I mean, that's great that the fan saved that or helped that gentleman, but that's kind of, huh. We got clarification. So, as it turned out, that elderly gentleman that was struggling or had, like, I guess an incident, Eiko said on Twitter, that was my dad. Afterwards, that a fan nearby rushed over to help him, and I want to thank, is this quote from what she said, thank you ever since. Thank you so much. So that was a twist. That's unexpected.
I'm just thinking, oh, dad didn't get, like, you know, like the special VIP, like, viewing area? Or maybe this wasn't, like, a VIP viewing area. I don't know. I feel like it's grounds for teasing if you're like, you didn't even get your parents like the best seats. But glad that it sounds like her dad was probably okay after all of that.
Yeah.
All right. So in a very odd one, entertainment news website Deadline reported that David Derrick Jr., who directed Moana 2, and John Aoshima, who directed Ultraman Rising, are co-directing a Warner Brothers and New Line Cinema's planned live-action/animation hybrid film of Sanrio's Hello Kitty character. The film will open worldwide on July 21st, 2028. So this is, I mean, this is kind of an odd combination, but okay, I guess. You know, Sanrio's big, Hello Kitty's big. I guess it makes sense. But as Justin has noted, at the time of the film project's announcement in 2019, New Line Cinema and Flynn Picture Co. were reportedly handling production and development of the film, with Flynn Picture Co.'s Beau Flynn is credited as the producer. Who actually is also listed as one of the producers earlier in this. Anyway, and Wendy Jacobson credited as executive producer. When the film's hybrid live-action animation format was revealed in 2021, The Hollywood Reporter listed animators Jennifer Cole and Leo Matsuda as directors, with Lindsay Beer as a scriptwriter for the film. The company Known Universe, which Beer co-founded, was also listed as an executive producer. So it sounds like there's been quite a few shakeups behind there if we've got two different co-directors that were previously announced. I don't know if the scriptwriter has changed, but it sounds like Known Universe is no longer involved with this.
And neither is Flynn Picture Co. You caught me. I thought Beau Flynn was not involved in this current iteration of Sanrio, but no, Beau is. I think I missed that. I guess Wendy Jacobson is the one that's currently not involved in the new version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, since
what happened between go ahead.
Yeah, since ANN notes that Ramsey Naito will join the film as a producer with Beau Flynn. But yeah, I mean, a lot of things have happened since 2019. I'm not too surprised that, you know, some things have changed, you know, with the structure, although changing directors is usually not a good sign.
All right. So that was weird. I'm about to say something weirder, but it's also awesome at the same time. Let's go!
I mean, it's not even weird. You said we knew it was coming, I'm pretty sure, in the line chat.
No. We all really should have seen this coming. We talked about, I think, maybe some episodes ago, even maybe like whenever online or whatever. We have something called Star Detective Pretty-Cure. I mean, surely this would involve Conan in some way or anything like that, and they kind of did like a little,
because Justin has a two-track mind, and one of those tracks is Conan.
No, hold
up. The other track is Fire Emblem.
Hold up. Anime Japan did like this little special collaboration with the it was like a, they're like in I forgot what you call them, costumes, stuff like that.
Stage show.
Did a little collaboration. Not a stage, like a little advertisement thing with Dave Conan and then Cure Answer. Just a little small thing. Just to promote it, obviously. And then again, you have to type the theme. So it's like, oh yeah, that's nice and cute. Little did we know it was teasing an actual collaboration this season, or this year, I should be more specific. So yeah, it was teased at the end of the episode yesterday that Conan is crossing over with Detective Star Pretty-Cure. So we're going to have a couple of the Detective Conan cast showing up. For what reason? It sure was not going to involve murder. I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, murder seems like a lot for a Pretty-Cure series, but that is how it normally goes in Conan.
It is normally, like 9 times out of 10, you're getting a murder, and that's encoded. But it's going to be that 1%, and I think this one in the Detective Conan spin-off, or the special episode that's coming in 2 weeks, yeah, I don't think we're going to get any murders in the next few weeks involving Conan. But yes, obviously two of the most popular type of franchises in Japan, Conan and Pretty-Cure, collaborating like this. Obviously, I think that should be specific. Conan is no stranger to collaborating with other franchises. Obviously, we have the Lupin the Third collaboration that happened. And for Pretty-Cure, they did one last year with Shin-Chan. So I guess they're starting to do collaborations. And now we have a crossover happening. Yay. Already curious what the answer is going to be. And it is very much noted that it looks like Answer is asleep. And Conan's got his nice bow tie. He's about to solve a mystery. So that means he put him to sleep with the needle. No, you can't be putting magical girls to sleep with a... No, you can't do that, Conan.
Conan, we can't do drug use and Pretty-Cure.
just already curious what they're going to set up with both these episodes. Just what is happening here? What is happening?
But yes, I told Justin that he does not get to talk a lot about this one until the episode actually happens. He could be excited about it, but we are not spending like another 10 minutes talking about Conan today.
Talking about Conan today. Some good, some bad. So we're going to leave it at that. Under 5 minutes and at least 11 minutes off from what I was hoping we had the podcast. Although this is one of the shortest episodes we've done in a bit, but still.
Yeah, like I said, when I saw how many licenses we had from like Yen Press especially, it's like, yeah, we are not getting out of a quick episode this time.
But that's it. We're going to enjoy the rest of our long weekend.
Yay.
I think. Well, for you, you got some other things you got to worry about, I think.
Guess who found rat droppings in their engine block and needs to clean it up?
Oh, no. So I don't think we want to find you there, Helen. Where can we find you normally, Helen?
Normally, you can find me. Well, I mean, you can find me posting about this on Blue Sky and complaining the whole time. but if you want to find me on Blue Sky talking about other things, you can find me over there at Wandering Dreamer. And like I mentioned earlier in the show, I co-host another podcast called Manga in Your Ears, which you can find on, I think, all of the usual podcasting services under that title. On Blue Sky, you can find us under the Taiku Podcast, which is spelled T-A-I-I-K-U podcast. And that is also the name of the website, which is where we post the episodes, episode notes, etc. Our latest episode was both Oku and the Otaku's Love Connection. We did not intend for both of them to start with O, but it's kind of a funny coincidence. And I am still laughing over some of those pages of the Otaku's Love Connection because they're fun dorks to read. Even if there were like one or two spoilers that I was telling April and Corey about after the podcast. That made them both go, what? What about you, Justin?
You can find me on the best site in the world, said never Twitter. Nobody actually said that.
Yeah, it's funny. I've been listening.
2010.
I've been listening to a podcast recently, like the older episodes of a podcast. And even in 2018, they're saying we are on the bad site, a.k.a. Twitter.com.
But you can still find me there at Kami underscore Nomi. Once again, Three Houses stuff, normal stuff. Maybe at some point it'll be Fortune's Weave. Whenever that gets announced, if it's coming this year, obviously check out theosg.com for recent futures. You can follow the social media of the OSG on Blue Sky, Mastodon, and still Twitter. You can check out the OSG podcast on App Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. You can ask to any RSS if you have, or you can subscribe by email. Feel free to leave a rating or review. Always good. Till next time, everybody. Bye.
See ya.